Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in New Jersey, joined by Anthpo. Anthpo is a YouTuber and creative mastermind that even if you think you don't know, you absolutely do. He's known for all kinds of things, including his college vlogs where he'd pull big stunts with his friends, the satire TikTok content house, the house nobody asked for, that time he anonymously ate an entire jar of cheese balls in front of a giant crowd in a park, and of course, creating and orchestrating the infamous Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition. He's been on the internet for over 5 years now, so we had a lot to talk about, like his thoughts on the insane worldwide virality of celebrity lookalike competitions, his time he spent working for Mr. Beast, a look into his process and what motivates him to keep going, and also just a bunch more insane stuff. He's been making stuff on the internet for over 5 years now, so we had quite a bit to talk about, including his thoughts on the insane worldwide virality of celebrity lookalike competitions. The Anthpo cinematic universe runs deep. So thank you so much for watching and enjoy the episode. Anthony.
Koi Piso from twitch.tv/...
Rating places with zero reviews.
Koi Piso from rating restaurants with zero reviews.
Anthony Poe from Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest. Right. I think
I'm more than that. I'm not.
No,
I'm but the summation of the things I have done.
We're gonna talk about Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition for an hour. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool. That's been my life. So
okay,
it'd be worse if I was Miles Mitchell, winner of Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition, who had to live this life for like 6 years probably.
That's true. This is the rest of his life, and he barely even looks like Timothée Chalamet. Yeah. I didn't mean to say that.
It's true though. I mean, he'll get posted somewhere and the top comments like, bro, like whoever was the judge was Stevie Wonder. Guilty.
Wait, okay, actually I didn't want to jump right into the Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest, but I mean, like, I didn't mean to, but here we are. How did the winner get chosen, actually? Was it someone who didn't know who Timothée Chalamet was? They just kind of picked their favorite, or like...
If it was up to me, I would have picked the worst looking person or the dog. But
Timothée Chalamet does kind of look like a dog.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a dog. He looks like a rat.
Yeah, like one freshly bathed.
Okay, I think you should have some structure to your own podcast. People don't even know who I am.
Oh, they do. I already told them at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, actually? Did
yeah.
The beginning of this already happened?
The now thing about this podcast is it's innovative is we don't even have an intro because we just get right into it. It's off the cuff. It's candid. We're talking. It's like they just jumped in the middle of the conversation.
Wow. It's like we jumped into the middle.
What's up, you guys? Thank you guys so much for coming back to this episode. I'm here with Anthony Poe. He's the creator of the Cheeseball Man, of the Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition, and also he made a bunch of videos in college. And he...
Smash that like button. When you say like on YouTube and subscribe, it lights up the thumbs up and the subscribe button.
Guys, hit escape right now. Subscribe. Subscribe.
Everyone, if you're on your iPhone, swipe up and then close the YouTube tab.
Stop.
And if you're on your computer, press Alt F4.
Okay. All right. So we met in Greenville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Home of Mr. Beast and Co. How did you get there?
My good friend was running his TikTok account and was like...
Running Mr. Beast's TikTok account.
Basically, I'm best friends with Mr. Beast.
Okay.
Long and the short of it. But yeah, I was just
invited.
Oh, that's
weird because you probably would have called him Jimmy like I do.
Oh, sorry, you mean James? His real name?
Oh. His friends call him Jimmy.
Yeah, but his lover calls him James.
He's engaged now.
Yeah, and she's the side thing, so...
Oh.
So I worked for Mr. Beast for like 3-4 months. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I just did a Mr. Beast collab and like I received a long DM from somebody being like, wow, like I'm incredibly disappointed that, you know, I think we talked about this.
Yes,
like
yeah.
I'm disappointed that you would like treat, like, just so you know, like he treats his workers horrible and you're a reflection of that. I'm like, I am his workers. Like
yeah.
I am the person.
And you loved it there.
I loved everything about, like, I loved the ethics and the, like, no. It's fine. It's like every other company. I mean, listen, like, people just want a story. That's like the internet is about a story.
Yeah.
People want your attention. Every time you see a news article or drama or a video essay, the people want your attention. That is like everything on the internet. That's how people make their money. So, I mean, obviously it's, you know, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Company's not perfect, not even close, but it's like whatever. I've worked corporate jobs. I've worked YouTuber jobs. I am a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Like, it is what it is.
So you were on the like TikTok team or vertical?
Vertical.
Vertical, as
yes,
they call
vertical,
it.
Yes.
Sorry. What was that like?
It was fun. It was like not a real job in a good way. It was like you'd go into the office and then like somebody would be like, 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4.
Really sounds like a nightmare. It really does. You actually, I was over at your house when you did the Mr. Beast TikTok collab, which it was like a TikTok rewind where they got all of the biggest memes from 2024 into one room to make the worst TikTok of all time. And you came home that night and tried to explain to me the shoot, and you were like, yeah, so basically Mr. Beast is at the fridge and he's like, I really want some Lunchly. And then Chick-fil-A sauce girl is like, with no Chick-fil-A sauce? And then he walks over to the Rizzler, and then the Rizzler is like, that gives me 5 booms. And then the low taper fade, and then the, like, you were actually speaking in evil, evil language, and I felt like I was having it. Like, do you... Like, I like had to sit down. I was getting nauseous.
Yeah, you were. You freaked out. And then when I showed you the video, once it was released, you thought it was worse than I had described it, which is impressive.
So, I was like, the video idea that you described to me was, and no hate, really bad.
It wasn't my idea. I know. I was like, and first of all, for some reason it worked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a proponent, like, I'm only going to release things I think are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're of the proponent now where they're like, people get angry and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Anger is engagement.
Anger is engagement. And that's unfortunate. Drama Alert's been around for 15 years.
And you're angry about the engagement of Mr. Beast and...
So upset.
And
because
his fiance.
Because it should have been me.
Yeah. Is that why you worked at the company?
Yeah, I was trying to schmooze up. No. Not at all.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Mr. Beast LLC is fine. Anybody who in their heart of hearts hates Mr. Beast LLC and isn't just making a meme, you need to touch grass. Similar to me and most people on the internet, but that's just like a blanket to say, I'd say.
Okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I hate Mr. Beast LLC.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I left.
Yeah. Absolutely. You started... correct me if I'm wrong, your start was kind of like meme-based content on YouTube.
Yeah, you're wrong, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What was your...
It's okay.
What did you do?
This is the greatest Nardwar interview of all time. No, I made sketch comedy on Instagram. I was a part of like a sketch comedy show that took off called One Minute Talk Show. And I...
Must have not taken off too far. And for the audio listeners, Anthony has just taken off, so it is a solo episode.
we had gained like 400,000 followers in a month. It's the biggest thing I've ever done.
Wow.
In terms of like, well, maybe I was in a TikTok house as well. Numbers don't matter. Everything's fake. But generally, like, we were 14, 15. I was 14, I think, maybe 15. And just took off. And then, like, I did it with like 4 other guys. And like, our parents sat us down and gave us a talk about like, don't put yourself on the internet.
Right.
And so that was how it started. And then that's how I gained my first like 10,000 followers on my own account.
Wow.
And I kind of used it as like a, because, you know, so many people make a banger video, but like, if you have 0 subscribers, like, it goes nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you do need like some base. And that's, I guess that's how I started.
Yeah. It's easier to get people to click on a thumbnail, regardless of the video is good or not, if they know who you are. It's nice like, to have some kind of like, base group of people who are attached and going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, what I was in reference to is your first like really big solo viral moment was meme based content.
Yeah, no,
right?
It was meme. Yeah.
Okay.
It was super,
okay.
That's like it's like if it was now, it would be called brain rot.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I think about a lot. Like, I beat the brain rot allegations.
It
was
like
making brain rot content.
It was like the era of like Shrek is love, Shrek is life, here comes that boy.
It was like right after.
Yeah.
There was a weird in between of like Shrek is love, Shrek is life, here comes that boy, and then like brain rot now. And I think I was in that weird like in between.
You helped like
push the needle or whatever they call it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's crazy. Like, when I started YouTube, like, seriously, when I was like, I want to, like, make YouTube content, be a YouTuber, I was like, nobody wants to watch 10-minute long videos, like 20-minute long videos. I was like, people want short content right now.
Wow.
Because I did 1-minute talk show and people like that. I was like, people want short content. And so I made like, you know, 3-4-minute long YouTube videos, mm-hmm. and gained like, you know, a bunch of subs. And then TikTok happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was right. Like,
so you ruined the brains of our youth. Yeah.
If I could go back in time, I would like assassinate myself.
Right.
Yeah.
There's still time.
I would, trust me. You think I wouldn't? I would do it.
You made like harassing people with pictures of Big Yoshi.
Yeah.
Harassing people. That's a lot of harassment.
A lot of harassment.
Still going with that.
Still going. Nothing's changed.
You were known as like Perry the Platypus.
Mm-hmm. All the worst parts of my life being brought up.
Yeah. Well, we're starting there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. you gotta start somewhere to get.
Yeah.
To,
no, you're right.
You know,
yeah.
Wherever you would consider yourself now. Mm-hmm. And then you started making videos in college. Your videos were kind of about your college life, and it was a lot of like putting on big stunts and like making big events and with your friends and mm-hmm. I caught like some of that, you know.
Yeah.
Back in the day, what was it like to go from and forgive me for assuming, but being, you know, kind of a loser
mm-hmm.
in a school environment to mm-hmm. like being the famous one?
Oh, I thought you were going to go a loser in a school environment to a loser in New York City parks. I mean,
no. We did some off-camera talking, you know, about mm-hmm. We've talked about your school and your binder of Sonic OCs, and mm-hmm. You've been a bit of a weeb and a bit of a social outcast. You weren't like the other kids.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Can I quit this podcast? Is that too late?
I'm not trying to be mean. I wasn't popular in school either.
Really?
Do I give that?
No, I was trying to flatter you.
I got really excited there. Yeah, but what was it like to make that shift?
Well, it'll surprise you, but I always have been and still am a loser.
Mm.
I think those who know me.
If you know, you know.
Well, yeah, I went from like, I drew like Sonic OCs and like, you know, and played a bunch of Pokemon to still doing those things, but not like, I also am a YouTuber, you know?
Right.
So like when I was in middle school, people would like take my Sonic OC binder and like, you know, rip it up, or like I had like my DS and they'd like close my DS and like punch me. I got punched in the face for playing Pokemon Platinum on the DS, on the bus. Awesome. Wait, lore. Sorry, we'll get back to it. But yeah. And I still did those things. I've completed the Pokedex in every Pokemon game.
Yeah,
still.
You show me all your Pokemon.
Yeah, and I just also don't make that public now.
Right.
I just do Timothy Chalamet lookalike competition. And like, I also, the same reason why I don't do friend content publicly, it's like, I want to keep some things to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people comment being like, bro, you changed. It's like, no, dude. Like, I'm the same. I'm just not giving you all bits of my life. Like, I'm not showing you my Sonic OCs.
Right. I think the people would like to see that.
You know what? I'm making a Sonic OC video. Yeah, I'm going through my old binder.
Please, I'm there for it.
Oh, OC means original character, by the way, in case you're curious.
Cool. I think that the like through line for all the stuff that you're doing is like, well, it's also actually your bio on YouTube is like about committing to the bit. You're very good at like putting yourself out there and leaving your dignity behind,
yeah,
in the meantime, in the nicest way possible.
No, I mean,
like,
you're
right. it's a very admirable skill.
Thank you. Yeah.
I mean, like, I've had some content where I've had to like really sacrifice my dignity and kind of like, you know, you have to kind of get into that character of yourself, but you've been doing that for years now. It's insane.
Yeah, unfortunately.
How? just how?
How? I think playing a character is super helpful.
Mm.
Like, it's much easier for me to, like, lose all my dignity if I'm, like, in a mask or, like, in a wig. Because I think I'm pretty boring. Like, in my heart of hearts, I'm not interesting. I mean, I think that there's people who, like, are genuinely so entertaining and don't have to be a character, and that's great. Like, I think, like, Isho Speed is, like, a funny, outgoing guy. Like, I am so boring in my default. So, you know, putting myself out there is like I gotta like lock in and be somebody else. And if I'm not, then no one's gonna watch, unfortunately. Like, I've done live streams and I've watched them back and I'm like, damn, I'm so boring. So I like putting myself with that. I think it's a good testament to like at the heart of what I do, which is like character acting kind
of. Yeah. And well, the character couldn't exist if a part of it didn't exist within you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you had to, part of you had to want to be Cheeseball Man. Cheeseball Man was always inside of you.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Of course.
I love Cheeseball Man.
Oh, by the way, Cheeseball Man, if you weren't there somehow, you ate an entire tub of cheese balls or jar?
Yeah.
Is that considered a jar?
Yeah.
Pretty big for a jar.
Yeah.
An entire jar of cheese balls while, like, how many people watch?
It was like 3,000 people there.
Yeah, okay.
It was like the size of a concert, kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Whose concert?
Probably like Drake.
Oh. Yeah, cut that. Was that the first stunt that you had that went super viral like that? Or to that
extent? Yeah, viral in the, like, normie sense. I've had YouTube videos. I've had things go viral on the internet, but I've never had anything like... Like, I would walk down the street of New York City as Cheeseball Man, and, like, elderly couples would come up.
Wow.
And be like, oh, my God, you're the Cheeseball Guy.
Yeah.
They usually say the Cheese Puff Man.
The Cheese Puff Man.
I think New York City people call cheeseballs cheese puffs.
Right. So they... Maybe they were showing up because they want to know what a cheeseball was.
They're like, what the heck is a cheeseball? Well, no, I'm saying, like, I'd walk the street, like... On the street. They wouldn't even be like at the thing. They'd be like, oh, it's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had that before. Like, 70-year-olds. Like, my whole demo. Every one of my fans are, like, the exact same age and person.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's got to be a lot of freedom in that as well to, like, keep your identity hidden and be recognized. Like, how... Was that your first time being recognized in as a character where, like, people didn't know your identity?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy. I think I don't know if I ever told this story, but... At the end of the, I ate a jar of cheese balls and it was like a funny bit. It was just going to be like a one-off YouTube video I thought was funny. And then it became like a bigger thing. It was like a super villain. And this is really stupid and fun. After the whole event, somebody, the last person, I signed like literally 500 autographs. Like, I signed people's boobs and like their forehead and their like MTA cards. And the very last person comes up. And this is before I was back on the internet. Like, I was still trying to figure out like who I am and what I want to do. And they just, like, pull up a picture of me, and they just go, this is you, right? And I was like, oh. Like, it was the craziest, like, how did they know that? Like,
chills.
Literally chills. I was like, and then I literally went, and they went, and they turned around and they left.
That is...
It was crazy.
So respectable.
Yeah, yeah, it was fire. It was
that
really
is
cool.
So incredible. Wow, wow. And you can't even hide that reaction as well. I like that you owned up to it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It was just like, yeah. And it was, I mean, people made like exposed videos on it. And it was fine.
Which, more of those on you?
More. I want
more expose videos on...
Just tons.
Anthony.
Yeah.
If you guys have anything, go ahead and put it out there. It'd probably make this podcast do better. So, like, whatever you want to do, just do it, really.
Yeah, anything you want. Maybe I'll just start doing really bad things in public. Yeah. Like, public stunts that are just bad. Like, I'll, like, I don't know, what's something in public I can do?
Volcano.
Yeah, I'll, like, light a volcano. I'll light like, a big
tree. Two volcanoes,
okay. And a bear. I'll release a bear in Central Park.
Two volcanoes and a bear.
Yeah, that's good. I'll kill someone.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
You're in this phase of doing these like big stunts in parks in New York, you know.
Yeah.
One of the stunts that has really stuck with me that I got to witness was at VidCon. You brought a monk to VidCon to crash a party, and I will never forget that night. That was the most surreal, insane thing. You were the whole week, you're hyping up this party.
Yeah.
Hyping up, there's going to be this big special guest. I swore it was going to be JoJo Siwa. I swore, because I needed her to be there so bad. That was like the time where Karma was coming out. I was like, if anyone can get JoJo Siwa at VidCon,
it's me.
It's you.
Yeah.
We go to this party, which was like, I don't know how to describe the size of this room.
It's like the size of half of this garage.
We're in a garage right now, by the way. So hopefully that kind of built out the world a little bit.
And there's just trash, tons of boxes.
There's kind of garbage right here.
And a body. There's a real body.
There is a body. I can show a hand.
You, yeah.
Yeah. real body. That's the bears and the volcanoes got to that one. But anyway, we're at this party. There's probably like 30, 20 people there.
There's 40.
40? Okay.
I count as 40, yeah.
Okay. And it's in this little room, garage-sized room in a hotel.
Yeah.
And there's a DJ there that I think was like, he thought he was at like a 2016 wedding, maybe, was kind of the vibe.
Yeah, it was definitely vibes.
He was awesome, but it was like, shut up and dance with me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what other, I'm trying to think of what other kind of.
Dance till you're dead.
Yeah. It was very just like, something was artificial about even the DJ. Like I was like, there's a camera there. Like, what did you have planned? And then the lights come up and a monk walks in and leads us all in guided meditation. You have a video on this if anyone wants to check this out. It was probably like, what, like 30 minutes of
guided meditation. It was great.
Guided meditation and listening to this monk talk. I was so enthralled. I was so interested in everything that this monk had to say. And it was like so insane that this monk was sitting in front of us. And also like some people had been drinking. So there were like little like drunk giggles. And like you had created such an uncomfortable environment.
Yeah.
Because I was like so interested in that. I was like, guys, please don't disrespect the monk is talking. Like, I know we're at a party right now. I know that like just 3 seconds ago. But like, it was a cool feeling to have of like, I don't want to say vibe shift, but like vibe shift.
Yeah.
You know? And then listen to this monk talk for 30 minutes. And he keeps really staring at me, and not at me, but like through me, you know, like to my soul. And I was like, oh, it's probably like, I'm really intently listening. And then afterwards we went outside after the party and stuff, or whatever you would call it. I went up to the monk and I was like, hey, like, just want to say, I was really interested in what you had to say. Like, sorry if people were being disrespectful, but I think that, you know, all the teachings are really cool and it's really respectable, whatever. And he just stares through me for a few more seconds. And then he's like, I feel like I've seen you before. And out from his robe, he pulls an iPhone. And I was like, I was like, maybe in like a dream or like a meditation or something. Cause I didn't think that he had an iPhone. But then when he pulls out a phone, I was like, well, I have a YouTube. And he was like, well, what's your YouTube? And he looks me up and he's like, I think I've seen a few of your videos.
Yeah.
Actually, the most surreal. I have eyewitnesses there. Were you there for that conversation?
Yeah. I was like right behind you.
Okay. I just want you to, because people don't believe me when I tell this story. Yeah. Like anywhere I tell this story, I will tell it for the rest of my life. Like, this is one of the most insane moments of my entire life. Like a practicing Buddhist monk barefoot in front of me in his robe, holding his YouTube on my phone, or holding my YouTube on his phone.
Yeah, has seen your videos.
Has seen my videos.
Yes.
Everyone in the comments is like, I'm a Buddhist monk too. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Can we sound off if you're a Buddhist monk?
What was it like? Because you went to Thailand for 2 weeks or a week?
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks.
Something? And you stayed with monks, yeah?
Yeah, I stayed with monks. It was basically like, I wanted to make a video on like Buddhism and like monks, but I think YouTube is boring right now. It's like, there's two types of content. There's like passive and active watch content. Like, I don't actively watch content on YouTube. Like, I feel like very few people do. So I'm like trying to make things that I would actively watch, not just like leave on my phone as I'm like doing laundry.
Right.
And so I was like, I want to see if I can, in the most respectful way possible, bring a monk to a party.
Yeah.
And like figuring out the way to do that isn't disrespectful, but is also funny. And I found him and he was like the greatest. Like, his whole thing is he has a Discord.
Right.
He has a big Discord channel and like teaches Buddhism to people who are like brain rotted. He's great. He's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that's incredible. And cool, you guys, I mean, like, you had to like fly him to VidCon, and did you form like a bit of a friendship with him? I mean, that must have been so cool to like have that kind of close-ish relationship with. I don't know what your relationship was like with him, but
I mean, monks don't really have friends, right? Like, they're very, it's like no materialistic possessions. Like, obviously he has like family and people he cares for, but it's like, yeah, you know, we're friends, I guess. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
We homies. We hung out for 3 days, and I flew him to VidCon and flew him back. I think I flew him back to, like, somewhere in Asia, maybe. I don't really remember.
What do you think he'd consider you? Friend?
I don't think he considers anybody a friend. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I haven't really talked to him too much since. We're both busy people with busy lives. Well, I think he has the opposite of a busy life.
Right.
So.
Wow. One day.
One day.
That's just one of the most insane moments of my life. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. You know, I forget how much of my life you've seen.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think of the KSI Logan Paul Mr. Beast podcast, and everyone's like, bro, they're not even friends. Like, they don't even hang out. Like, they're just like, and I'm sure people could blanket statement say that about us, but you've stayed on my couch for like 4 or 5 weeks at this point, and you have seen so many weird things I've done. Like, you were there for the pickled man.
Yeah.
You were there for the monk thing.
Mm-hmm.
You saw me at my beast era.
Yeah.
Like, when I wasn't even doing content.
Yeah. And you went and, oh my gosh, you went and cried in the park the other day. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did do that.
Was anyone there?
No. there was one.
Wait, okay, for context.
Okay, I hung up these posters. It says, it's fake, obviously. It's like, my girlfriend cheated on me with my roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cry about it in the park publicly. I wanted like a funny bit to do just for like a short form video, but I didn't want people to show up really, but I still had to hang up posters because it's not funny if I didn't.
Right.
So I hung them up in the city, but I did it in Jersey City, and still two people RSVP'd they were going. So I was like, oh, like I have to do it. Like I didn't want to go at like 2 p.m. or whatever, but I had to go in case they showed up. I'd feel so bad.
You like had something else to do that day. It was so funny because you were like, can anyone go to the park and cry for me?
Yeah.
You're like, cool. And then you're like, all right, I got to leave at 1:45 because I got to go cry in the park real quick. And then I got to go to this thing right after.
Yeah.
just like
my schedule is amazing.
Like a little meeting. Yeah.
Our schedule tomorrow. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Our schedule tomorrow is we're going to the Capitol on January 6th. Like, it's like, oh, we got to like leave at night so we can get there on time. We have a big group hangout at 2 p.m. We have to make the big group hangout at the Capitol building on January 6th.
And it's been like an actual, it's been a logistical puzzle as well.
Yeah,
like there's like snow coming in and we're like, all right, but we got to go to the Capitol. Like, how's that going to affect our day? Like, are the walls going to be slippery? Are
and
we gonna
this
be able
is
to
exactly
climb them?
What people on January 6th 2 years ago went through. Like, literally.
Two?
Or three?
Four.
Was it actually 4 years
yes.
ago? Oh, I guess it was. It was the last. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait, that's crazy.
This is the same thing that your roommates were like, they thought it was last year.
Yeah, it feels like it. Well, I guess it's funny. Every January 6th, I'm like, oh, remember that time there was an insurrection?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it gets funnier every year.
We're going to make it happen again.
It gets funnier every year because it has school walkout energy.
Yes, it totally does. Wait, that's so funny.
It's literally like if you...
Sorry, the body just fell.
It's literally like if you like got an embarrassing Snapchat memory from like 4 years ago being like, remember when everyone walked out of the school for blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and then it's
Harambe.
Like, no, don't remind me of that. Like what the January 6th insurrection feels like. No disrespect to, you know, democracy.
All of the January 6th attendees that are watching this podcast right now.
Hopefully most of them.
Statistically speaking, somebody that attended the January 6th insurrection has seen one of my videos. Probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Statistically speaking, both of us. The middle-aged conservative men will not stay away from my videos.
That's
put
true.
Dinner on the table. Go put dinner on the table. You have a family.
I didn't know your fan base, so it's hard for me to say.
Yeah, I'm going to move on from that. I want to stop thinking about them.
Okay, cool.
So you've been uploading on YouTube pretty consistently for like 5 years now. Five? Is
yeah,
that?
5 years.
Right? How do you keep going for that long? Like, what's kept you posting? What's kept you motivated?
Arbitrary deadlines.
That's
about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It's miserable on this platform. No, I don't know. I like making... At the heart of it, I like making videos. What I don't like is it being in and about me, but that's the only way to, like, make money realistically is like you're only gonna get it's only gonna be a career if you involve your face or you know some character, like you need something,
right?
And I'm fortunate that I have a fan base and people that know me and appreciate my content, so I need it to be about me or involve me in some capacity.
You could start making faceless drama commentary videos.
You know what? Okay. You know what? I think at the heart of the reason why I'm so upset with the internet and my job is because no matter how much effort I put into my video, somebody can just make a, we need to talk about this Mr. Beast situation video and get 5 times the amount of views.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like, what is the point?
Yeah. And it's like, we have talked about the situation.
But we need to talk about it again.
We do.
The Mr. Beast situation is crazy.
Yeah. I watched one of them got me the other day.
Really?
All right. Because it was the guy who interviewed Mr. Beast. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the mustache guy.
Yeah, Oompaville, I think is his name.
Yes.
I was scared to say his name. I was afraid he was gonna like appear. Because that happened with actually I don't want to say that.
Yeah, I've tea on the whole situation. I feel like let's move on.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I got like a we need to talk about the Beast Game situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this guy like talked to Mr. Beast. Then I clicked on it and it was like, I was like, he's just still getting his bag.
Yeah.
Like respectfully. Like
no,
I was
there's
like,
there's no situation.
There is no situation that hasn't already situated,
yeah.
You know? And also every single, every minute or two, there's like, he inserts like a meme clip, like a video, like, yeah.
Awesome.
And it's like, if that's your style, if that's your format, fine. I'm not going to watch it, but fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for like being like, this Mr. Beast situation is crazy. And then it's like, oh, he needs some milk. And it's like, contestant suffers a minor head injury. Like, how are you fitting? Like, this is just, it's just slop. It's just reused slop over and over again. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because it's so reused.
Yeah. So to get back on subject,
yeah,
to stay motivated. I mean, surround myself with good people, make good videos that I think are good. It never feels good until like I'm at an event or in public or something and someone's like, yo, like your shit is fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it like inspired me and I'm like, oh. Or like, it's crazy because I did this. Like when I first started, like I remember, it's so cringe. The first year I was at VidCon, I like went up to Ian from Smosh and I was like, yo, bro, like your shit's fire. Like you inspired me, bro, like for real. And he was like, I could tell he'd heard it a million times. He was like, oh, of course, man. Like, hey, enjoy VidCon. I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like now I'll have people, like at last VidCon, people came up to me and were like, your stuff inspired me. And I'm like,
and you're like, you're lucky I'm not Ian from Smosh.
I mean, Ian was amazing. The fact that he didn't slap me immediately in the face was amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that like inspiring other people to do it and just like making cool things.
Yeah.
Is inspiration enough. I have been doing this for a long time now, like mm-hmm. content on the internet for like 8 years. I can probably name on one hand people I met over 4 years ago that are still doing content.
Mm.
You know what I mean? At least as a career that I've
yeah.
like, it's like,
especially right now, the mm-hmm. pace is so fast that the turnover, like you go to VidCon, it's like, this was a good year. Probably we'll see none of you next year.
Yeah.
You know, like it is like people do get their 5 minutes of fame and then,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but you've had that longevity.
I mean, the only way you really fail is you stop because like if you, mm-hmm. all content is like creativity and marketing kind of. So if you just keep, like you're going to have your downs and your ups, mm-hmm. both like viewership wise and like feeling wise and like, you just got to keep going and in your heart of hearts, make good things and people will recognize it and that's a good feeling. And worst case scenario, I work at a Wawa.
Right. And that's not so bad. And also, if you work at a Wawa, you can still make videos.
Yeah. That's true.
Know?
It's probably better.
Like in your downs. Yeah. Like the time. Oh my gosh. Maybe I'm just romanticizing it in my head, but the times where I was in school or working a job and making content, I think about that time I felt like Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Like I loved being like, ooh, I'm going to go like pretend to restock the shelves in the closet so that I can go like upload something or like record or like, you know, work on stuff and like be back and forth with it. Like having it as a hobby, there is a lot of good in that. You don't have this, like, it's not everything you're thinking about all the time.
I tell people this all the time, like, especially at VidCon, because a lot of people that go to like VidCon are like interested in making videos. If you have any desire to like do it full time, don't. No, it's like you can get the same enjoyment, if not more, doing creativity as a side thing. Mm-hmm. Right? It's almost better because now you're not as worried about it putting like food on the table.
Right.
Right. Because like, yeah, I mean, it loses so much of its joy. I mean, realistically, life is about learning to love what you do, not doing what you love. Mm. So everything you're going to do in life has its boring, bad moments. I don't know. Just figure it out. Figure it out, dude. Like, it's not that deep, bro. Like, grow up. Well, oh, my life is hard. Yeah. Try Twitch streaming.
Try eating an entire jar of cheese balls.
Yeah. Oh, I...
Try picking the white boy who looks the most like Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Like they don't even know what a hard job is.
No, literally, and they couldn't even wear Perry the Platypus onesie if they.
Yeah, seriously. Oh yeah, I have to work 9 to 9 at a hospital. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Try sitting on a couch and talking to Koi Piso.
You know, you're the first one who's had an issue with it.
With the what? Talking to you. This is all to say, I'm very grateful for where I'm at. I think my issues are internal.
Yeah.
And in my brain.
Yeah. Mine absolutely are too. And this podcast has been really, really fulfilling for me already. And this is only episode 5 or something. Mm. But just being able to like talk about what I'm passionate about and talk with people about what they're passionate about at the time. And then seeing people, just seeing that resonate with people and seeing people say that they were, you know, motivated or was that a yawn?
Yes, you're boring. No, continue. I'm just tired. We have to drive to fucking the Capitol tomorrow.
No.
Or tonight in like an hour probably.
Wait, actually, okay, our lives are hard. Like jokes aside, a nurse would never have to do that.
Okay. Yes, talking to people and asking them questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just been really fulfilling so far. And, you know, to your point of like inspiring other people is the thing that I think keeps me going and makes me inspired.
Good.
To keep going, you know. You had that whole era where you like quit.
Mm-hmm.
Big, you know, waving goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's actually when you ended up at Beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that decision about?
I have such a bad memory. I don't even remember anything before like 7th or 8th grade.
Okay.
My entire memory of my life has been making content.
Mm.
So I was like, I need to not make content and just see what my life is like.
Right.
And then unfortunately I was making content, but it was obviously a very different thing. I wasn't as like stressed about like people tell me what to do. So it was like, I felt like a job.
Right.
I think had I not gone and worked at Beast, I probably wouldn't have come back, but it made me realize that like, there's nothing that they know that I don't like. Right. There's no secret sauce to creating anything.
Right.
There's nobody knows more than you do. Like, mm-hmm. If you just, in your heart of hearts, create things, you are the subject matter expert. Like, mm-hmm. I truly believe that. And after mm-hmm. being at Beast, I was like, wait, like, I'm goated. Like, I can just make things and make mistakes and make videos and make them again and try things. And then, like, I'm no different than Jimmy Beast, right? It's just he's fallen into a niche. And then, you know, it's like, so I was like, I'm gonna do it my way. And I think I have. I think I've reached, like, the levels of Mr. Beast just not... like for a different audience. Like I've, you know, on the right. news and IRL and it's been cool. And I feel like I've inspired people and given Miles Mitchell the opportunity to go to the Golden Globes.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
that is insane. Insane. And also he met Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
And okay. I want to get back to the Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Truly.
Did you expect that much attention for it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much.
Cool, it was nice talking to
you. Yeah, this was really fun. That's your scoop, everybody.
I think people... Dude, there's no... Oh my God, bro. The internet and creativity is like in such a like Ouroboros right now.
Yeah.
Like it's just, again, the Mr. Beast drama is crazy and then Mr. Beast does something and people go, wow, the Mr. Beast drama, we need to talk about it. The situation... And it's like...
Yeah.
No one is making things people want to talk about in like a positive light. And I mean, of course, that's hyperbole. There are things that are great on the internet, but like at mass scale, you know, I'm not making money from what I do. Like,
right.
Like I'm making enough to, you know, pay an intern or two and like pay my rent, but I'm not cashing out in any capacity.
You're paying your interns?
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about this.
Yeah, we probably should. The Anthony Poe intern situation is crazy.
Oh, his interns need some milk.
Oh! Wow, pause.
His interns be like, you got a dollar?
Rewind. Wasn't I making a point about, like, I'm not making money? Oh, yeah, people just want fun things. And I'm like, I'm going to provide free, fun, public things.
Right.
And if it gets back to me, cool, welcome along. And if it doesn't, oh, well, it's like a story people... I just want, like, at the heart of a creator is, like, a storyteller, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're... I mean, even the Mr. Beast drama being crazy is a story.
Right.
It's just a bad one, and you deserve to die if you made that video. I'm joking, but like also in Minecraft, but also in real life.
Right.
But also I'm joking. But also you, the sentiment is there.
Yeah.
Of like, let's do better.
Yeah.
I'm doing better. I'm making cool things that I think people like.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one else doing it. I think there are, I mean, people are copying me, which is good. I'd rather people copy me and spread cool, fun, positive things then Mr. Beast drama is crazy.
I haven't seen, then again, maybe it's just like my proximity bias, but like I haven't seen a name attached to any lookalike contest. Like it seems to just be for the sake of community and event. You know what I'm saying?
I've seen a couple, like there was this YouTube, there's two or three YouTubers that have done it,
mm-hmm.
Of varying sizes, you know, and there's been some companies that do it. I don't mind the YouTubers thing, but some like seeing a company kind of like try to profit off it makes me kind of, but like, at the heart of it is something wholesome and cool, so I really don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like I shouldn't bring up this, but it doesn't really matter. The guy who did... There was a guy who, like, ate a rotisserie chicken in Philly.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where I got half of the inspo for Cheeseball Man. I was like, oh, I want to do something like that in New York City. And obviously, mine, it was so much more. It was, like, planned and thoughtful, and I had a character ready, and, like, I was ready to do bits and, like, whatever. And I had given this guy his flowers. I'd mentioned I was inspired by it in my video. And I had even reached out to this guy. I don't even remember his name. I think his name is Reese. I reached out to him. I was like, yo, like, I'd love to do something charity together. Like, we can, like, stir up some beef or, like, whatever. This is back, like, 5 months ago. And he left me on read. Oh, I said, like, hey, man, I'd love to stuff some beef because I was like, Cheeseball Man.
Right.
And he ignored me. And now I'm done. Like, the bit is over. Like, I'm done, Cheeseball Man. Like, it's stupid and it's washed. And he's trying to start beef with me on Twitter. He's like, Anthony Poe is a coward and he won't fight me. Like, he's, like, trying to set up a boxing match. It's like, dude, like, I'm over it.
I'm so obsessed with that.
I
like,
know.
I think like, it is the funniest thing ever because I've never heard of this man until... And that's why he's doing it as well, is I haven't heard of this man until now he's talking about wanting to fight you. But... it is actually the most baseless anger ever. It's so funny to me.
I know.
And it's so, and also we are talking about like the words that came out of your mouth just then, like of just like eating an entire rotisserie chicken.
The guy who ate the jar of cheese balls is being attacked by the guy who ate their entire rotisserie chicken.
Right. And like, whose side are you on?
Yeah, pick a side. I mean, that's what they want. Listen, I wanted that too, but then he ignored me. And I wanted to do it for charity. And now he's like, well, let's do it for charity. It's like, he also is like, I need 5 months to train. It's like, pick a, like, I'm trying to move on and like do cool things for New York City. And this guy's like, anyways.
And you also kind of have to be ahead of everyone else. Like once you do a bit and it catches fire, you have to move on.
Yeah. And that's the hard part too, is like, I'm not making things that can easily be traced back to me. So the second people get the idea, they're like, I'm just going to do that exact thing.
Right.
So it's fine.
Yeah. I think that a big part, and I think that I've seen articles about this as well, is like a big part of the reason that these lookalike competitions went so big was just like the need for community. Like celebrity lookalike competitions became third spaces.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree.
Like that's insane.
Yeah. And it's a shame. You know, I think New York City really needs that.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed to gather more than 20 people in one place at the same time without a permit, which is...
Wait, what?
Ridiculous.
So how am I supposed to hang out with my friends? Because I have more... I have a lot.
I was going to say, it's probably a problem for most people, but you'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think you could probably gather 20 people who, like, wouldn't throw up at the sight of your disgusting, like, putrid features and, like, general, like, aliveness.
Oh, that's not very nice, because I was going to say that I think you're really pretty. Pretty ugly.
So I'm just going to chill on my phone the rest of the podcast, but that's cool.
You're going to be on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, let's talk about the Mr. Beast situation. So the Mr. Beast situation is crazy.
It's crazy when you talk about it.
Please don't eat the microphone. You got a lot of like mainstream attention in the way that you did with the Cheese Ball Man stunt, but this time it was like a bit more Hollywood because it was, you know, celebrity centered. Like you had SNL did a skit, and you like someone was playing you in an SNL skit.
Yeah.
How are you not like geeked out about that? I mean, I know you're burnt out from the Timothy Chalamet lookalike contest at this point.
Yeah, I'm not burnt out over the team. I'm just burnt out over life. Jarvis, look up how to get Lexapro.
Do you need?
No, it's cool. I mean, it's dope. Low key, I don't know. I guess this happens to actual celebrities. I'm not a celebrity, but there comes a point where you've kind of been to every peak. Like I've talked to Mr. Beast. Like I've met big celebrities. Like I've been on the news. Like I have videos with bajillions of views. The numbers and the vanity don't do much for me anymore. That's why I think the community things are kind of cool.
I just thought about cutting out the last sentence there.
What was it?
Right before you said the numbers and the vanity, it's just you bragging. Okay, sorry. You were saying it doesn't.
No, I mean,
but no, that's a fair point though. I experienced to an extent. Yeah. You know?
Like the heart of it is like happiness is not going to come from any amount of success or being on SNL. It's cool. And the night that happened, I was with my friend Sierra and I was drunk. I mean, I don't drink alcohol 'cause it's bad for you, but if I was in Minecraft drunk. And then I didn't really realize I was watching it. And I was like, haha. And then I woke up in the morning. I rewatched. I was like, this is insane. Like, this is so weird. Like, I wore a white belt on the day of. And they, like, wore a white belt. Yeah. Like, they got it down to the T. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But, like, you watching this are, like, without a doubt, pound for pound, happier than Elon Musk. Like, I think that's safe to say.
I think that most people are happier than Elon Musk.
Yeah. He has 10 kids. All of them hate him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has, like, ruined people's lives. And maybe he'll take us to Mars. And maybe he has achievements. But he is, like, probably not happy.
He should take himself to Mars and stay there. Has anyone said that joke yet? That was easy. That was too easy.
Hey, steal that on Twitter. But, like, you know, at the heart of it is, like... X, sorry.
The everything
my God. Stupid. Clip that. Farm, chip, chat, clip
oh
farm.
Oh my gosh. Something just happened to you.
Yeah, I'm in live stream mode now. Yo, chat, are you green in this? Elon Musk is not happy.
Mm-mm.
Happiness comes from within and from a community and doing what you love and learning to love what you do. So,
yeah,
I'm trying to do that, and it has nothing to do with the subscriber count. I'm trying to make fun things that I like and hang out with friends and make art.
Yeah, that's awesome. I respect that a lot about you. You are really obsessed and passionate about the things that you're doing, but not in the way that's about you. It's about the project, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not about the feeling that you're going to get from the project or how people are going to feel about you because of that. Like, I can just see that it's from a place of actual passion, you know?
Thank you, Quippy, so.
Yeah, of course. So... No more, you don't need Lexapro anymore.
Guys, subscribe to Koi Piso. Sorry, I'm just trying to help you out here. You kind of like gave me a lot of compliments. So I was like, well, what do I do? What do I do with all this energy?
Money.
Okay, do your next question.
Okay. Oh, well, I did want to talk about, and this is the last time I'll even speak his name. Timothy Chalamet.
Gotcha.
Okay. He posted on his Instagram story in reference to the competition.
Yeah, a couple times. Which one, though?
Oh, a couple times?
Yeah.
I didn't see that it happened a couple times. I was referencing the one where... I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember it just, like, didn't make sense.
Oh, it was like he made, like, a poster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was, like, to promote his movie or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was, like, using...
It made no sense.
It's so interesting to see how... celebrities are having to lean into internet
culture, stuff, yes.
Yeah, culture. Yeah. And it's like, how do you get in touch with that when you haven't been in the past?
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good example of that shift and also why it, like, where you know, it not working.
Yeah, 100%. Fascinating. I see it. Although I will say Timothée Chalamet is incredibly good and tapped in some capacities.
Absolutely. I mean, he did like Brittany Broski and then like the Narwhal interview and those were great. I mean,
yeah, very tapped in. But, you know, like he's never going to... I can go band for band on being like chronically online with any... Like, I think I can beat 95% of people on the internet, let alone real life people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so... tapped in, and this is not a brag. This is like, I need to be like put in an insane asylum. And he's like the opposite end. Like, he has like a life, and like he's dating a Kardashian, and he's got millions of dollars, and he's in movies. Like,
would pay so much money to watch those two interact with no one else watching. Like, not in a perverted way, but in a way of like, what conversations could they possibly have?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I've been reached out to by like a dozen news publications. Because they're asking me for information on their relationship. I'm like, dude, I sit in a garage and make YouTube videos. What the fuck do I know about Timothée Chalamet and the Kardashian? Like, what the fuck?
They're grasping at straws because no one knows. No one knows how that works.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets it. How do you not get fatigued by your own stuff that you do? Because you kind of play into like a lot of meme culture and like things that get talked about. Like, we've talked about you being known as like the Perry the Platypus guy for a while.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of in this phase of like shaking off the Timothée Chalamet and the, you know, how do you move forward and not grow to resent your past projects, even though they, you know, are kind of getting rehashed all the time, like on this podcast.
I could never resent something that made me who I am, good and bad. Like, I like the person I am now, and I'm always working on being better.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, how to avoid it, you just move on. Like, the reason Hawk to a Girl is always going to be Hawk... Haley Welch is always Hawk to a Girl is... is because she has a podcast called Talk Tua.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She will always be Hawk to a Girl.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many people that blow up from being a meme, and then they just... ride the meme. They milk it dry.
Brittany Broski could still be Kombucha Girl.
That's a great
she
point.
She so could be.
And I have not thought about that in like years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I could be the leader of Gen Z. Melody and Gen I Z. Am.
You are.
But it's...
Gen Z, assemble. Okay. Cut that out, please.
It was definitely getting cut. if you could bring back one meme that's dead and it lasts forever, what would it be?
Uganda Knuckles. No. Harambe. No. Nyan Cat. No. Actually, you know what it would be?
Oh, Nyan Cat's really good.
Yeah, Nyan Cat's a good one. Well, you know, all of my favorite memes are ones that have had a shelf life. Like, my profile picture on, like, Steam, it's, like, a gaming thing. The fact that I have to say that's crazy. Was, like, this crying cat, like, 12 years ago it was that. And I still see that cat around.
Okay.
Like, I'll see it in edits and stuff.
That's insane.
What'd you just look at? Was it, like, a ghost there?
No, it was a thought. It was, one of my thoughts was over there.
Oh, it was, like, a bubble. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I like
I was
dumb.
Picturing your tattoo.
What tattoo?
The meme with the shelf life.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, is that not something that should be public?
No, it's fine. I have video about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you have a...
chill guy tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked the owner back when it was like first blowing up, like when no one knew about it. I was like, hey, can I tat this on myself? And they're like, yeah. Very great, great person. Like, they were chill.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And then, like, it was a dead meme. And then 2 weeks later, it, like, blew up. And, like, Mr. Beast made a video about it. And I'm like, great. Like, now I have a chill guy tattoo.
That's how you freaking know it's viral. When Mr. Beast makes a video.
That's true. Because it, like, statistically has reached enough people to where Mr. Beast can go, okay.
I'd bring back chill guy.
Thank you.
For you.
I appreciate that. I need that. I actually do desperately need that.
Actually, that would be a good answer for you.
Yeah.
But I took it, so...
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What's like what's a collab that surprised you the most?
I collab with Sneeko.
Wow.
Yeah. It is awesome. Like, the fact that happened is amazing. I'll see Sneeko fans talk about it all the time where they're like, yo, why the fuck is Sneeko in this fucking random Breaking Bad skit? It's awesome. It's so funny. I got back when Sneeko was like normal, which I think he's in his normal arc again now. I was gonna text him, but when he was like a, you know, he made fantastic videos back in the day before he was like in his pipeline he's in now. We hung out like 5 or 6 times. He hung out with like everyone in our TikTok house. He was like a literally great dude. Like I feel wrong saying that because I feel like I would get flack, but like straight up, like great dude.
That's interesting to hear as like, well.
Yeah.
It's like what the pipeline can do to someone. Like that's important to be like, it's not that like something broke.
Broke, or he's done the craziest, like Sacha Baron Cohen, like Bo Rat style. Like I'm going to be the worst.
Yeah.
Anyways, doesn't matter.
Get attention from it. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a collab with him where I did a Breaking Bad skit with him because he loves Breaking Bad. And then after that we didn't talk and then yeah.
That's incredible.
So I think I was the glue.
That's really awesome.
Holding it together.
So. Wow, I'm one person away from Sneeko. I'm so close to my dream.
Yeah.
All right, well, I have one last question for you, and it's a question of advice from my own life for you to give me advice on.
Okay.
How do you keep your own creative passions from feeling lonely?
Other people. That's it. Also, dude, you're totally fine. You don't need advice from me, bro. I'm washed. You're the new gen. You're Koi Piso from Koi Piso YouTube and Koi Piso Twitch.
Don't do that. Be so unk.
Oh, shoot.
That's
okay.
An internet reference for all you all you youngins. Web surfers out there.
A little gen alpha action.
That one hurt.
It hurt. You gotta just stay around people that inspire you. That's low-key like the hardest part I found is like, especially when you're in college or like, you know, you're in high school and you like kind of want to make music and then everyone's like, cringe, you know, like,
right.
They're like, you have passions and like, don't want to like chill and watch football and drink alcohol. It's like, oh, it's tough. But you know, if you really enjoy it, surround yourself with people who are going to inspire you and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Awesome.
Type shit or something.
Good answer. All right. Okay, and then the last thing we need to talk about is the Mr. Beast situation.
I was going to say, I was waiting for you to say that. Like, I just cannot believe, like, the drama's crazy.
Really? Because they literally all need some milk.
Dude, oh my God, did you hear they did surgery on a grape?
Oh, that's really good.
That's the meme I'd bring back.
Okay, I'm about to let you leave, but... I have an ongoing playlist that everyone gets to add one song to.
Oh, sick.
So you get to add one song. I need to pick out my song for
it. Oh, shit, I broke my glasses. Or who broke my glasses?
Oh. Tony P, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you.
I'm going to add fart sound effect.
Really? Yeah. You're not going to add fart.
Give me
sound
your
effect.
Phone.
No. You don't get to add it. I'm picking out a song right now I picked a song. Okay, my song recommendation of the week is Replay by Planet 1999.
Oh, wait. Are we recommending songs to people or are we putting is there like a big playlist of all your guests?
There's a big playlist of all my guests, but it's song recommendation playlist.
Oh, for the audience.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so, okay, I get to add one to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I don't add that yet.
Look up
this is not
fart sounding effect.
Who's that by? Fart sounding effect.
Give me that, you son of a bitch. Okay, yeah, I'll put in the actual recommendation.
And for those of you who aren't watching, just listening, Anthony has just put on a wig and glasses and he does this thing. He does this thing where he pretends to be this other person named Tony P, and he gets really mad when
that
you try to pretend like
true. That is not true.
And I don't know what kind of music that Tony P listens to. So,
are you happy?
Oh, Anthony, welcome back.
Did somebody already put Nico B on the playlist?
Nico B is not on the playlist yet.
Okay, I'm gonna put Nico B. Why is this dealer?
So good, good pick.
Yeah,
don't add it yet.
Okay.
But good pick.
Thank you.
Well,
why is this dealer taking a piss?
I've been standing here for 30 minutes. Nice. Well, thanks for watching. Anthony, thanks for being here and in your own house, which I've been staying at so long. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Koi Piso of Koi Piso fam.
Anything you want to say, promote?
No, nothing to promote. live life to the fullest, learn to love what you do, have fun, and text people you love that you love them.
Real. Bye-bye.
Oh, finally, we can stop pretending to be friends.
I was going to say the same thing word for word. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you liked it. I did end up vlogging me and Anthony going to the Capitol building on January 6th, and it was insane. Maybe a little bit too insane for my YouTube channel, which is why I'm going to put it on my Patreon. I promise I'll shut up about my Patreon as soon as this podcast starts making me money. But until then, please, patreon.com/koipiso. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next week on a different couch.